right, friends. Todd Blackhurst here with Taichung Expat Talks, and I'm really happy today to have my friend Julia Richardson on the program. Julia and I have been Facebook friends for a very long time. We met through the Taichung Info Exchange, which a lot of you are members of, and now we're actually friends in real life. I highly recommend that, because when you get to know somebody face-to-face, it just changes things. So, Julia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You are a delight to be with. And so I just want to ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners.
So my name is Julia. I'm a 31-year-old expat from San Francisco, and I've been living here in Taiwan for 8 years. I spent my first 3 years in Jiayi and the last 5 years here in Taichung because I'm a city girl, so it suits me more. And I am a kindergarten teacher, and right now I'm becoming a certified teacher, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice. Great. Julia, what brought you to Taiwan to start with? What was the what's your Taiwan moment?
The Taiwan story is a good one. So I love kids, and that's probably why I'm a kindergarten teacher. And so I guess 8 years ago, I went on a volunteer trip to Nepal. I was going to be living there for 2 months, working at an orphanage. And I had never really traveled far on my own before. Like, I'd been to Mexico and the Caribbean, but I'd never really traveled abroad. So it was my first trip really far from home alone. And on my way to Nepal, I had a few layovers. And the first one was in Taiwan. It was a 13-hour layover. And I just planned to stay in the airport, right? Because I'd never traveled before, and I didn't really know.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on the plane next to a Taiwanese young man about my same age who was Taiwanese but living in San Jose, going to school at San Jose State.
Okay.
And he was really nice during the plane ride and friendly, and I had fallen asleep, and he had, like, saved my food for me so that when I woke up, I could eat it. And
so nice.
He was really nice, yeah. And we got to chatting, and he said, "What are you going to do when you're in Taiwan?" And I said, I'll just stay in the airport. Yeah. And he goes, "No, you can come into Taiwan. You don't need a visa. You're American. You can just come because you're moving on after your layover."
Right.
And I said, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know anyone." And he insisted. And in fact, he said, "My girlfriend is coming," which is how I knew, like, okay, this guy's all right. "My girlfriend is coming to pick me up.
Yeah.
You can, we'll, like, show you around. You can come back to my house. You can call your mom." So this guy that I had just met on a plane took me with his friends back to this beautiful high-rise apartment in Taoyuan, let me use the internet so I could call my mom, say I'm here, I'm safe. And then they spent the whole day showing me around Taipei.
Wow.
And who knows what they had actually planned for their day, but they spent it with me. And I can't think of a time in my life when I've met a stranger and said, "Let me just spend my whole day showing you around." Actually, that's not true. I did that once with a couch surfer here in Taiwan, but probably because someone did that for me, you know?
Yeah.
They took me to a bunch of really good restaurants in Taipei and the Chiang Kai-shek Memorial and Taipei 101, and we went shopping. Like, we had this great time, and being from San Francisco, I had never seen a city that was so clean, so modern. Like, the MRT is just so much better than Muni or BART that we have back home.
Yeah.
And back then, we were still using paper tickets in San Francisco, and they had these, you know, everything electronic here. I thought, wow, this city is really cool. It's amazing. It's clean.
Yeah.
It's nothing like what you think of when people talk about, you know, these other countries. And I'd only really heard of Taiwan from when I was a little girl, and it said made in Taiwan on, like, our cheap plastic toys. I just had no idea, and I thought, this is a really cool place. People were friendly.
Yeah.
I really liked it. And so he had mentioned to me in our conversation, "You can get a job teaching English here." And I just said, "Okay, sure, that sounds good." And at that time, I was living in San Francisco with my boyfriend of 5 years. And I thought that that was the man I was going to marry.
Right.
We were living together. He had a great job. And I was volunteering. Well, unfortunately, things sort of fell apart when I was volunteering. My boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, he had a drug problem. Had an addiction problem. And when I was away, it started up again.
Wow.
And he had been in rehab before, but it started up again when I was away. And unfortunately, I discovered it while I was in Nepal, because we had a shared computer, and he used our shared computer and email to like email women and drug dealers and all these things going on online. No. Very shady. And I'm in Nepal in this very, very poor third world country with very bad internet connection. And I'm seeing these emails and I'm just like heartbroken, right? So when I went back to San Francisco from this trip, things just fell apart. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't stay together. Mm-hmm. And we were living together, but our lease was almost up. Yeah. I think I had like 2 months left on it. So I had 2 months to find a new job, mm-hmm. and find a new place to live and get myself together.
Yeah.
And I was heartbroken because I really thought this was the man I was maybe going to marry, and I was young.
Yeah.
And I wasn't able to find a job. That was back when the economy was still pretty bad.
Yeah.
I guess that must have been 2011. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't even get an interview to like work at Starbucks, even though I had a degree and experience working for the mayor of San Francisco. That's what I used to do, work in his PR department. It was just a really hard time. And I decided, you know, maybe this is the time for me to travel and mm-hmm. live abroad, because I've always wanted to. And my lease is almost up. I can't get a job. Why don't I just look into this and just see,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I looked into Japan
yeah.
and Taiwan, and I got job offers after like 2 weeks of applying.
Wow.
And I took a job in Jai with a boss and a company I'd never met, but I really liked our Skype interview and they sounded really nice. Like yeah. they just sounded really nice. So then they said, when can you come? And I said, I'll be there in 3 or 4 weeks. So I just sold all my stuff, got all the paperwork done, you know, the degrees yeah. notarized, and just moved here with 3 suitcases. And I didn't know anyone. It was a really small town.
Yeah.
And it was really hard at first.
Oh, my goodness. But tell us about those first few weeks in Jai as a young, single woman.
Yeah, 23.
Oh, my
I was
goodness.
Super excited, but also I was really heartbroken, right? Because yeah. I had just got out of this strong relationship. And it was lonely at first, but my boss and his wife were really nice. They took me around personally to find an apartment, to buy things at Carrefour, like sheets and blankets. And actually, the first night, though, someone tried to break into my apartment that
oh,
I lived
my
in
word.
Because apparently there were gangsters or someone that lived there before, and they were looking
oh.
for the previous tenant to get something back from them. But here I am, brand new to Taiwan, and someone's banging on my door and screaming in Chinese, and I was freaking out. I called my boss crying. I'm like, please come over. And they were so nice. They did. And it didn't happen again after that, but that was very scary. It was very lonely, my job, even though the Chinese teachers there were pretty nice. I was the only foreign teacher. I didn't speak or understand Chinese at all.
Yeah.
And I pretty much just sat in the office being kind of ignored because people were speaking Chinese all
sure,
around me the whole
right.
time. And I couldn't order food. I couldn't do anything. I didn't have a scooter, so I pretty much ate at 7-Eleven for the first few weeks until I could find a few more restaurants, like lunchbox
right.
places where I could just point at things, right?
Yeah.
But the first 2 weeks, I ate at Family Mart across from my house every day. I didn't even know how to say anything besides ni hao and
yeah.
xie xie. That was it, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
So,
did you ever think, I've got to go home, like I got to get out of here? Or
no, because I knew that it was going to be hard. I had read about it, and I knew that it was going to be a challenge, and it would just take some time, but I really wanted the adventure.
Yeah.
But I think I cried a lot in my room alone. And my first friend was a guy I had met on some Taiwanese kind of dating-ish site. I didn't like him all that much, but he was really helpful and he helped me get a lot of stuff done. So that was interesting, that part. I kind of just try to block that out now,
yeah.
to be honest. Like, oh. But I basically one day went into my office and I asked my boss, where can I meet other foreigners? Because I'm really lonely. I don't
yeah.
have friends. And he suggested some bars. So one night I went to a bar. It's called June's. I don't know if it's still there in Jai. I bet it is. I went there and there was a group of foreigners having like a birthday party. So I just went over and introduced myself and
joined the party.
Yeah, I said, I'm new here. I'm like literally 3 weeks here and I don't know anyone. Can I join you guys? And they were really nice and they said yes. And that's how I made my first friends.
Yeah.
Just going up, I saw that someone had a tattoo and I have tattoos. So I kind of used that as my, oh, like your tattoo, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
Yeah, that was the way.
Wow. What a great story. Amazing.
I know. I think I was a little bit younger and crazier then. I don't know if I would do that now, but I'm really glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm really glad.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that brings up another question. You are a young single woman. And
am I single just because I'm not married? Because I wouldn't call myself single.
You're not single. You're in a relationship.
But and I'm by unmarried. That,
I guess what I mean is tell us what it's like to be. You have experience being single.
A lot of experience.
Those are your words, not mine.
Yeah.
You have experience being single here in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like? Help us understand.
Especially,
there's a lot of us here who probably don't know what that's like, and I would like to have some empathy for that. So.
I think if you ask most foreign women here, we all have the same opinion, even though a lot of people, myself included, we have ended up meeting our partners here. But there are long periods of time where it's what you might call a very dry spell, and mm-hmm. the pool is much smaller.
Yeah.
So from a female's point of view, and this, there's a lot of people who argue with me on this, but none of them are women. I guarantee you most of the women here that are expats agree to some extent that this is what it's like. A lot of the foreign men here come and they want to date local women.
Mm.
So you don't have as big of a choice there, because you have a lot of men that are not even interested in you because you are not a Taiwanese woman. Or if they are interested in you, it's not for anything serious or meaningful, right? Maybe it'll be something one time or casual. But if you're looking for a meaningful relationship, a lot of the men that live here aren't interested in that.
Okay.
There's a pretty big party scene among a lot of the expats, and I'm not going to say that I've never partied, but I think that really contributes to an overall feeling of non-permanence.
Yeah.
And there's just not a lot of desire for commitment there. So if there's a lot of partying going on, there's a lot of messing around and a lot of, you know, just nothing too committed or too serious. So that's problematic. A lot of my friends, I won't say anyone's names, but I know a lot of my friends that just hang out with guys, myself included in the past, that maybe that's not someone you'd really see yourself with, but you're lonely and it's someone available and someone who's interested in you. And so you kind of, this sounds terrible, but I'm going to be honest, you lower your standards a little bit because it's hard to be alone for a long time.
Yeah.
I went 10 months without any dating at all and no physical intimacy, anything, because I got really burnt out on the dating scene here and I just decided to focus on myself, which ended up being a really good thing. But you know, when I tell people that, sometimes they're like, you went almost a year really without dating? I'm like, yeah, it was the best thing for me, and I got really tired of things that weren't meaningful and fulfilling. So and if you're interested in dating Taiwanese men, because a lot of us are, have had a few Taiwanese boyfriends. In my experience, there was a lot of communication issues, not necessarily language based, but more cultural and value based. Different expectations.
Sure.
Like there's also a guy I dated, Taiwanese, whose family couldn't accept him marrying a non-Chinese woman.
Mm.
Things like that were just not quite the same. And then my other experience more casually dating local guys is that they're often a little bit like shy to approach Western women. And I think Western and Eastern culture, we have very different dating rituals and communication.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, for example, one night I was at a bar and a Taiwanese guy was buying me drinks all night and was sitting with me and chatting, and he seemed quite interested. But then when the bar closed, he just said goodbye. He didn't ask for my number. He didn't try to kiss me. He certainly didn't ask, you know, do you want to go somewhere else? He just said bye. And I thought, Well, that's really weird. Yeah. Because if you're into a woman in my culture, you're asking for her number or you're following up. And that is, I've often seen happen here, yeah, where sometimes local guys, either they don't know how to talk to foreign women, or the way that we express our affection might be different. And so my Taiwanese friends have told me that they do a lot of group dating, and then the groups get smaller, and then you end up with the person that you're into.
Very different from Western culture.
So just like less direct, right? Yeah. And I know a lot of us, I'll speak for myself only, I like someone to be direct, and if they're interested in me, then I want that person to say that, right? So that's not to say it's impossible.
Right.
There are lots of foreign women who end up with Taiwanese husbands, but it's a little more rare, and I just think that as a foreign woman, you don't have as many choices.
Yeah.
But one of my friends says it's a little different in Taipei. Hmm. You know, here in Taichung, a lot of us are pretty tight-knit, and we know each other, so...
Yeah. Well, that's I really appreciate your sharing honestly. That's very helpful, I think.
Informative.
Yeah, very informative. Very informative. So, speaking of culture, let's talk about culture. What are your observations about the differences between Western and Eastern culture? What are some things you've been here for 8 years about?
Mm.
There's things that still get on your nerves? Things that you still...
Saving face is a really hard thing for me because I'm a direct person. And so it took me a little while to understand that you can't do things that might embarrass someone else publicly, right? So, for example, you shouldn't point out someone's mistake maybe to them if they're going to be embarrassed in front of others, even if you're trying to be helpful, maybe. I've had people give me, incorrect directions or lie to me just because they didn't want to admit that they didn't know where something was, right? Excuse me, can you tell me how to get to this place? And they have no idea, but they'll just say something. And it's completely wrong, but they didn't want to say, oh, I don't know.
Right.
So that is something that took a long time to get used to. When I first got here, it really used to bother me that people would laugh all the time. And I realized they're not laughing at me. That's sort of like to hide embarrassment or uncomfortable awkwardness.
Yes.
So I did get used to that, but that was tough at first because it used to hurt my feelings when I was speaking Chinese and learning Chinese the first time and someone would laugh at me, you know?
Yeah, like,
this
course,
is not encouraging, but I've kind of grown to understand the meaning behind that. I still have a bit of a problem with the way that people drive. I don't think that people are considerate.
Yeah.
And don't really look at the big picture, which is, you know, if you are slightly more mindful, it makes the whole experience for everyone better when you drive.
What a concept.
You're not the only one on the road. it really breaks my heart that I've noticed here. Have you noticed that people don't pull over for ambulances?
Oh, yeah.
And back home, if you hear an ambulance anywhere, if it's just even an earshot, people pull over. The road splits like the Red Sea,
that's
you know?
True. Yes.
An ambulance can go through.
Yeah.
And here, that doesn't happen. And that really bothers me because someone is in that ambulance needing critical attention. And people are just driving along. And I think that's something that really, really needs to change. Like, I can accept the other kind of crazy driving, but people... should remember that we're all in a rush, we're all in a hurry, but sometimes, you know, pulling over and waiting a couple minutes, it's okay. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
So, but I think that lends itself to like the mindset and the working mindset here and the culture of like kind of constantly being busy and that I don't agree with either. So, in the future, I'd really like to go somewhere where things are, like, more laid back, easy, you know, where your work isn't your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that for you.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Like, my boyfriend is from Nicaragua, and life is pretty relaxed there.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll go and live on a farm
there. On the coffee farm and just have a nice time. Yeah.
It sounds like a good change of pace.
So I want to ask you something a little more personal. You, a while back, a couple of years ago, your father passed away.
Yes.
And you were here.
Yeah.
And unable to, it was sudden, so you were not able to be there.
Yeah.
I think that could happen to just about any of us living in a foreign country.
Yeah.
What do you say? How did you get through that?
That was really tough. Number one, I didn't know that my dad had been sick because he wasn't in touch with me or my family for many, many years. I think the last time I saw my dad, I was like 19 or 20.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, my dad was an alcoholic and we had a very strained relationship. But when I found out he was sick, it was like a week before he died.
Oh,
like, he was really, really sick. He had lung and liver cancer because he was a heavy drinker and a heavy smoker.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that I actually, like, phoned his family that was there and got to FaceTime with him. But to be honest, it wasn't really the same because he was really sick, so he wasn't himself.
Right.
And I found out via a text message while I was at work that, you know, he passed away. And
oh my goodness, I'm so sorry.
It was really, really sad, even though I had a very tough relationship with my father and very, very strained and a lot of, you know, negativity associated with it. But still, I felt really, really upset that I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And really upset that I couldn't afford to fly home, and also it was too last minute.
Right.
As it, when I finally found out, and I had to try to decide, well, do I want to just go home for the funeral?
Right.
And financially, it would have been a really, really big burden on me, really hard. Like, I'm still paying off my undergraduate student loans.
Yeah.
Which is another big reason I moved here, because you can pay off your debt. And it was just a really hard decision to make. And since then, I've really been thinking about, like, how I want to go home before my grandmother passes, for example.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's pretty important, I think. So, I don't know. I think I'm not sure if I'll ever be totally at peace with that, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still something that if I think about too much, it's pretty hard and upsetting. So I think regular visits home are good if you can afford that and, you know, if possible.
Yeah. You've definitely made a life here. You're a singer.
You
have friends. I mean, you have any shows coming up you can tell us about?
Yes. On April 17th, we're performing at DJ House, and we're going to do something special, actually. It's called the Sing-Along, so we're going to take requests and let people make requests so that we can actually have a sing-along, and we'll give some instruments to the audience members, so we're going to try to get everyone involved in that. And then also April 26th, we're performing at Gong Hai. Gong Hai has acoustic night every Thursday, so if you want to check out some good local artists, they feature local performers every Thursday night, and it's pretty fun.
Okay. Do you have a Facebook page or a fan page?
We do.
Okay, great.
You can find us on, just search Just Us, the duo. Our name is Just Us. It's me and my boyfriend, and we're Just Us because it's just the two of us. We started playing for a friend's wedding. One of my friends got married last year and said, will you sing at my wedding? And then that's just how it started.
Yeah.
So we decided to perform because people said we were good. So.
Nice. Sweet. We'll post these links. You got any favorite places in Taiwan that you would recommend for people to go check out?
Oh, my favorite place is Shaoliocho. Mm-hmm. It's changed a lot, though, since I used to be there. When I went there 5 years ago, it was very, like, undeveloped. There was only one 7-Eleven on the island. Now there's a lot of hotels. There's two 7-Elevens. It's a lot busier, but you have to go there because you can swim with sea turtles.
Yeah.
And it's, you don't even need to dive. You can snorkel with them.
Wow.
And it's so beautiful. They let you get really close to them, and you can swim with them for just, I don't know, as long as you want. Like, I followed one and just swam for, like, 20 minutes with this turtle.
Wow.
And it's a really beautiful, quaint little island. You can just drive around the whole thing in under an hour. The campsite there is beautiful. But I will say, don't go on a long holiday weekend because it'll be crowded and booked. Try to go during the week if possible, or like on a random weekend. But it's really easy to get there because it's only a 20-minute ferry ride.
Yeah.
So if you've ever been to Green Island or Orchid Island, those are brutal, like, 2.5-hour ferry rides where everyone's puking. So this is way better because Shaoliocho is just a 20-minute ferry ride off the coast of Kaohsiung. I definitely recommend that people go there. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I also really like Elan. Like, I think it's a bit underrated. Elan is super beautiful. It rains a lot, but they have great hot springs and camping. And my friends and I, we do a lot of camping at waterfalls. You know, it's kind of like the Taiwan thing.
Yeah.
And I also recently decided that Damshui, where I'd never been, is such a quaint little, like, lovely town. My boyfriend and I went there and had the most romantic, fun weekend. We rented bicycles and rode along the waterfront and drank beers at the cafes. And there was a beach, like, less than an hour away that we went to, Baisha. It was really nice. Like, I really like Damshui. It's, like, super cute.
Yeah, it is very nice.
Yeah, it was a really, really nice time. Nice. So those are some of my favorites.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I have one more question I want to ask you. I ask everybody. Are you a religious person?
I'm spiritual, but not religious.
Tell me what that means to you.
Well, I grew up in the church, actually. And
what kind of
church? Baptist.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I've always been super open-minded, and I ask a lot of questions. And at my church, they didn't like my questions that I asked. You know, I would just ask questions that I was curious about. Like, well, if God made us, then why would he hate gay people? Like, didn't he make them? And I got in a lot of trouble for that. Mostly I loved church because I got to sing in the choir and I worked in the nursery taking care of the babies.
Yeah.
But as I got older and just explored and traveled more, for me, I feel like God is in everything that's alive, in trees and plants and people. And I feel like Buddhism resonates a bit more with me, the idea that God is in every living thing. And I just personally don't really need, like, a set of rules or guidelines to live my life by. Like, morally, I have a pretty good moral compass. And I think, I find God in the mountains and the ocean and, you know, fire at night and things like that. So for me, it just wasn't really necessary. And growing up, having more of a negative experience in the church that I grew up with, I found that to be more limiting to people. Yeah. Like, their worldview and the way that they acted was limited based on these, like, preconceived notions they had about the way that things should be or what was good and bad. And I think people know what's right and wrong if you look within yourself. So I don't really know the answer, and I don't think anyone does, and I think it's possible that maybe some of us are all right or all wrong. Like, I don't really know, so I don't want to claim that I have the answer, and this is the way. I think whatever resonates or works for you, that's fine, you know? And whatever people need to be happy, that's great, as long as you don't infringe on other people, then that's great. But I love Buddhist principles because I really like the teachings of Buddha. I love meditation, and meditation's really helped me with my anxiety. And I just think the practices are really useful for the kind of world that we live in. So I don't call myself a Buddhist, but I did spend a weekend at the monastery they have in Kaohsiung, where you can go Fo Guangshang. You can find out about what Buddhist life is like. The monk life is not for me, okay? You got to get up at 4 a.m. and start your prayers and stuff. And, like, it was really cool to see.
There's no sleeping in?
No. And I recommend that experience for anyone because it's free, it's in English, and it's an amazing weekend where you really get to experience something different. And they teach you about Buddhism, but they don't try to convert you. They just teach you what it's like. It's really cool. But being, like, a Buddhist monk isn't right for me. But I really appreciate Buddhist teachings, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for answering the question.
No problem.
And thanks for being on the show. It has really been a privilege. And
yeah, thank you.
Now we're real friends in real life, and I love that.
Yeah, so for sure.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Check back next week for our next episode. And this is Todd Blackhurst for Taichung Expat Talk.